Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
9:20 again. You can hear more of JP Morrell talking about the trash contract with Newell Norman, both of them lawyers, and you can get down to it, pardon the pun, the heart of the matter at 12:10. That's one of my favorite songs. The more I know, the less I understand all the things I thought I knew. I'm learning it again. Those are Don Henley's lyrics. And if I'd have told you 2 weeks ago, look, we're going to find out about Derek Carr's shoulder injury from Derek, but it'll be while he's preaching a sermon at church, you would have said, Tucker, enough drinking. It's time to dry out. But that's pretty much what happened. With that, we welcome in Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm all right. I guess we did find out from Derek Carr about his shoulder injury at church in Las Vegas.
Yeah, sorry, you're cutting out a little bit. Can you repeat that question?
I say, so we found out about Derek Carr's shoulder injury in Las Vegas when he was preaching at church.
Well, you know, we knew about it, right? So it's more so that he's confirming that it exists, which, you know, I don't think he felt like he should have to do. But, yeah, it was weird because, you know, you watch him talk in that setting, and he's talking to the people standing in front of him, mm-hmm. or sitting in front of him, rather. But it's very much something directed at, you know, a much larger audience because he's smart enough to know that that's mm-hmm. going to be seen and shared. And, you know, he talked about some lady on a podcast, which, you know, Diana Rossini is who he's referring to. She hosts a podcast called Scoop City with Chase Daniel. And, you know, I wouldn't say that she kind of came out and said that she didn't believe the injury was real, but she heavily implied that there was more to it than was being shared. I think it would be hilarious if she changed her Twitter bio to some lady on a podcast, personally. I mm-hmm. think she would win the internet for the day if she did that. But, no, and so, you know, he talked about a lot. You know, he said that, you know, he's had a very tumultuous off season. You know, he shared some intimate details of a trip they took where they all got sick and, you know, his wife, they had to rush her to the burn unit because of a weird explosion at home. And mm-hmm. then, you know, they found out later that she had a miscarriage. They didn't know she was pregnant. And that was around the time that he was supposed to come to New Orleans. That's the details he shared. So obviously you feel for the family. It's a tragic situation, traumatic situation, anytime something like that happens. So, you know, your thoughts and prayers are with them. But, you know, it's just another kind of episode of the off-season soap opera that is Derek Carr and the Saints, because it's anything but normal. It is a complicated, complex situation seemingly at all times. There are a few answers. The Saints haven't really come out and said anything. I think they're hoping to get more information so that when they talk about the situation at length, they are able to do so from a place of, hey, we have answers for you. We're not presenting more and more questions. And especially in the build up to the draft, they didn't want that to be the case. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I still think surgery is probably the most likely outcome when you're talking about a 34-year-old quarterback. I think the question's going to end up being, hey, do you want to have surgery and fix this issue? Do you want to try to play through it? We don't know what that's going to look like. Do we want to rehab it without surgery? So, you know, I think this is all going to kind of come to a head in the next few weeks or so. The Saints are going to be on the field for their rookie mini camp in mid-May. They have OTAs starting, you know, a few weeks after that. So the first time Derek has to be here in terms of it's mandatory is the veteran minicamp in June. So I think by that point, by, you know, June 20th or whatever, I don't have the exact date in front of me. I have a feeling we'll have an idea one way or the other of where exactly he stands.
And my thoughts are, I feel for him and his family, but looking at moving forward, you got to play with who you have, not who you don't have. And right. Along those lines, let's go through the Saints draft, if we will. You can talk about Kevin Banks, and we'll get to Tyler Shuck.
Well, which one do you want to talk about? Let's talk about both?
Start with Kevin Banks, just real quick, a recap, and then we'll get to Tyler Shuck.
Well, first, Kelvin. He'll get mad if you call him Kevin. We learned that with Kelvin Sampson, the coach for Houston.
I'm just reading what they gave me here. Is his name Kevin or Kelvin?
Kelvin, like the temperature. And it's interesting. You know, we had Archie Manning on yesterday, and he has some insight into Kelvin because Kelvin was the left tackle at Texas. And, you know, Arch Manning didn't play a ton last year, but when he did, he spoke very, very highly of Kelvin, said when he was the best person in that locker room, independent of football, just from a character perspective. And, you know, that's what we heard a lot of from people who know him, from the coaching staff that, you know, scouted him, is, you know, you're adding a very, very high character, high quality person. And, you know, I get it. Every time you go into the draft, there's so many exciting names, especially when you're drafting in the top 10. You kind of have all these visions of, wow, what if we added this stud wide receiver, this stud running back, or, you know, the super exciting tight end. And then you end up with an offensive lineman, and it's like, there's no highlight reels of offensive linemen I can go gush over and get excited about. But then you kind of take a step back and you say, how do you win at the NFL
level?
Yeah,
when it's game, when it's game day and you need to run the ball for 5 minutes, forget the highlights. Yeah. That's what I want to see.
Right. And like, it's easy to forget. This time last year, we were all panicking about, can Trevor Penning play right tackle or left tackle? Do you have to have a tackle? And now, instead of that question, you have a guy you drafted last year and feel great about in Taliese Fuaga, who you could play, either keep him at the left side or move him back to his natural position of right tackle. And then you have this stud tackle who you probably want to play at left tackle in Kelvin Banks. And your only real question is, do we move Trevor Penning into guard? Do you use Dylan Radins? There's so many options that you have now that, like, I think the team is thrilled to be able to get a guy they were really high on and just solidify that left tackle, especially now knowing that they wanted to go.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So with Tyler Shuck in the second round, a guy I've been high on throughout the process, and, you know, one of the interesting things is, so, okay, you move Trevor Penning into guard. One of the issues with a guy like Trevor Penning playing guard is he's like 6'8". You got to see over that guy. You know, the Saints have spent 2 decades basically, you know, throwing guys out there up to stand on their tippy toes to see over the offensive line. You had Tyler Shuck, he's 6'5". He's more of your traditional, prototypical quarterback build. He could see over that guy. It's not going to be an issue for him. So I do think that's interesting. And just kind of rolling into the Tyler Shuck conversation, I'm a big fan of Tyler Shuck. He was my mock draft pick when I put it out on Monday. I actually had the Saints trading up to go get him. I thought they were going to feel a little pressure the way the quarterback class kind of unfolded, I think they felt a little more comfortable sitting there at 40. But they were very high on this guy. They did not feel like it was a reach. Yes, maybe he could have been available a few picks later, but you were not, if you wanted him, you were not going to say, we'll just kind of hold our water until 71. Wait 31 picks and hope no one agrees with us that this guy is a very good quarterback. So I think they're very happy with their first two picks.
Tell me what kind of quarterback he is. What's he remind you of for people that didn't see a lot of the highlights, don't know a lot about him from Louisville? Tyler Shuck, other than his name is going to be ridiculously hard to pronounce.
Yeah, so his name is spelled differently than it sounds. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing people have to kind of figure out.
It's 9:30, and we're back with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, talking about Tyler Shuck. For people that aren't familiar with him, Jeff, you're getting ready to tell us. Who's to remind you of? Give me some quarterback comparisons, and is he likely to play this year?
Yeah, I'm missing a lot. We're kind of cutting in and out. I don't know what the deal is. But, like you mentioned, he's 6'5". You know, a lot of the criticism you'll hear is he's 25 years old. He'll be 26. In his rookie season, I get it. But I don't think the Saints view that as an issue. I think they view that as a positive. He's going to show up and be a little more pro-ready. He's also has an injury history. His three seasons at Texas Tech, he broke his collarbone twice. He broke his fibula once. These are kind of freak injuries. They're not orthopedic injuries. They're kind of, contact injuries. Texas Tech, he was asked to run a lot. He went to Louisville in a more pro-style offense. He wasn't asked to run as much. He didn't get hurt. So I don't think they're super concerned about that either. And the question to me becomes, who is he as a quarterback? You know, he's a very mature quarterback. He understands, hey, I would rather throw the ball away than take a sack. That's something that, you know, has been criticized in college. But at the end of the day, that's a pro trait. Professional quarterbacks, guys who last in the NFL, understand that I am much better off cutting my losses, understanding when a play is dead, and dirting a ball, than taking 5, 6, 8, 9 sacks a game. You watch how Spencer Rattler played last year.
Or throwing an interception.
Versus how Derek Carr played last year.
Turning it over.
Yeah, and so, right. And so, I think that's something that they view as a positive trait. I kind of look at Jared Goff as kind of the top-end comparison, and I know some people are like, Jared Goff. I mean, if you watch Jared Goff, that's a good comparison, right? This is a guy who threw for 4,700 yards last year. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. He's been to a Super Bowl, and we don't need to bring up how he got there. But, he was fifth in the MVP voting last year. And what Jared Goff does and what his superpower is he gets the ball out. He understands how to play from within the pocket. He can extend, but when he extends to throw. He can take off. I would say Tyler's a little more athletic than Jared. If you go back and watch his tape at Oregon, where he started, he backed up Justin Herbert for 2 years and then played during the COVID year. So it was only 7 games in 2021, I guess. But, what he's able to do is when he gets out in a straight line, he can go. Now, he's not trying to juke people, make people miss downfield. He's going to get down rather than take a hit. But, he's a guy that can get out of the pocket and move. So, I think when people see him out there, they're gonna kind of get the picture of I get it. You're talking about 6'5", strong arm. He's able to roll out of the pocket and make really good throws downfield. He's got a good ability to kind of throw from multiple arm slots. So you'll see him when needed to kind of drop down in kind of like a Matt Stafford-esque kind of like sidearm throw. He said Matt Stafford was a guy he came up watching a lot of. So you can see a little bit of that in his game. It's the number 40 pick in the draft. You're not taking a guy at number 3 and saying, well, this guy has to be a superstar. It was a terrible pick. You're taking a guy at number 40 and saying, we feel good about it, and we'll see. I think he could very well be your week one starter, just like Bo Nix was the week one starter for Denver last year. It'll depend on whether Derek Carr is healthy and whether, and you go through camp and you say, who's the better quarterback? Is it Spencer Rattler? Is it Tyler Shuck? But I think Tyler's going to have a really, really – unless they're trying to protect him because they don't think he's ready, they don't think the team is ready around him, if he shows up and looks better than Spencer Rattler, there's no question you would throw him in there.
All right, let's talk about the rest of the Saints' draft choices. Vernon Broughton?
Yep.
Tell me about it.
So Vernon's an interesting one. I would say when you talk about reaches of the draft, he might be the best answer in terms of the read on him at 71 – was – he probably would have been there at 93. The Saints really liked him. Defensive tackles are, you know, not easy to find in the mid-rounds. If you feel like you have a guy that is a plug-and-play defensive tackle, you go get him. The Saints had really, really good intel on him. Bo Davis, who's the Saints' defensive line coach now, obviously after a year at LSU, was the Texas defensive line coach for three seasons prior to that. So he coached Vernon. We asked Vernon about it. He loves Bo Davis. He said they're like family. If you go and you look at so the Saints post the draft calls when they call the guy and tell him he got picked. They actually had Bo make that call to tell Vernon he was coming to the Saints. He called him chicken legs, which I think is funny because when you see the guy, he's this massive human being. And he also said, he's like, you're my Easter basket. It's kind of like a joke, but it was, you know, I'm sure that one of the reasons Vernon is here is because Bo Davis gave him a very, very strong stamp of approval. So, you know, it's a position of need, and I like it.
Jonas Sanker, safety?
Jonas. It's actually Jonas like Valanciunas. Yes.
Okay.
You know, he's an interesting guy, too. You know, both him and Danny Stutzman, who was the next pick out of Oklahoma, he was Jonas was the final day two pick. Danny was the first day three pick. And what they have in common is both guys are elite tacklers. They are highly productive players. If you combine their stats over the last two seasons between Oklahoma and Virginia, they've combined for more than 400 tackles. Like that's, these are guys who you can plug in as core special teamers from day one and feel like we can develop these guys. Jonas in particular is kind of fascinating because he actually came up playing eight-man football, which, you know, is really kind of a unique thing. Scott Shanley, former Saints linebacker, also came up playing eight-man football. We had him on WWL radio yesterday. He describes it as arena football without the arena. It's really high-paced, but you still got to go out there and make tackles. He played quarterback and safety in that situation, and he made some big hits that kind of got him on the scouts' radar, and then so he ends up at Virginia and is highly productive. So I think he's going to be a really intriguing guy. You know, I mean, C.J. Gardner-Johnson would be a good comparison in that same range in terms of the third, fourth round. But, yeah, I like both those two guys as core special teamers right away who can potentially, you know, DeMario Davis, as much as it seems like he's going to play forever, eventually he's going to have to call it a career. So you are still looking for inside linebackers, guys who can fill in. And so Danny, I think, is a really good candidate for that.
And I know you like the tight end from UCLA. I'm not going to even pretend to know how to pronounce his name. Say it.
Maliki Matavau. One more thing on Danny, which is interesting. Yeah. So Danny Stutzman's father, Steve, was actually a teammate of Jeff Ireland at Baylor. Okay. Jeff Ireland, the Saints assistant GM, was a kicker at Baylor. Steve was a tight end, which kind of leads, okay, so the tight end out of UCLA, Maliki Matavau. I actually talked to him at the Senior Bowl, and one of the things that stuck with me, and he was a mock draft pick of mine, so that's a, you know, mark it off. Anytime I can get a seventh-round pick right, I feel pretty good about my mock draft. But, yeah, one of the reasons I was really high on him is because when I talked to him at the Senior Bowl, I asked him, hey, what do you want to work on this week? What is the most important thing for you to come out here and do? And he said, I want to work on run blocking. I want to come out here and put my hand in the dirt and beat up some edge rushers. And, you know, that's to me what the Saints needed to add was not only a guy who – can physically block, be that blocking tight end option, a guy who wants to do it, a guy who embraces it as his role, because to me, you know, so much, yes, you want to have a guy with the physical traits to be an elite run blocker, but so much of that equation is wanting to go out there and do it, wanting to get isolated with a defensive end who's probably going to make you look bad, but surviving and putting in the work to make it happen. And so if you can get a guy with the traits, he's 6'6", 250, pretty athletic, a little stiff in his hips, kind of stiff getting downfield, but that's not really what I'm going to be asking him to do. When I can get a guy with the traits I need in the seventh round, 248 overall, I feel good about it. So I think it was a solid kind of late round value pick for him.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it as always. And Stutzman, I'm surprised didn't go higher. You?
Stutzman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy because he didn't get a lot of interest. The Saints were the only team that worked him out.
I just remember watching him play, and I thought he'd go up there. We'll see. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Dr. Judy Ho about handling stress and finding the sweet part of life, even though sometimes it can be sour right now. Traffic, WWL.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Ohtani connects and it's gone. Joaquin strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.